If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
And now, without further ado, let's begin.
My name is Jack Dawes, and I've been a park ranger at Elkwood National Forest for the past 5 years. Located in the rugged backcountry of Montana, Elkwood covers over 2 million acres of pristine wilderness. It's a beautiful but dangerous place for the unprepared. As a ranger, it's my job to maintain the trails, educate hikers, enforce rules, and respond to emergencies. I grew up in this area and know these woods like the back of my hand. My grandfather was a forest ranger too, so I learned the ropes at a young age. I've hiked every trail, climbed every peak, and camped in every valley within Elkwood's vast borders. There are still areas so remote that few humans have ever set foot there. It's easy to disappear into the depths of this untamed land if you don't respect it. My outpost is near the north entrance to the park, and enough provisions to survive if I get stranded. Each morning I hop in my dusty old Jeep and head out to patrol. Elkwood only has a handful of rangers spread out over thousands of miles, so we each cover a large swath of ground. My zone is the northwest sector, spanning hundreds of rugged acres. A typical day involves cleaning up campsites, maintaining trails, assisting hikers in need, watching for fires or illegal activity, and documenting wildlife. Bears and mountain lions are common, so I'm always armed. So far, I've been lucky to avoid any close calls with aggressive animals. Not many dangers exist that I can't handle alone. I enjoy the solitude out here, just me and nature. Weeks can pass without seeing another person. At night, I often sleep under the stars instead of heading back to my cabin. Gazing up at the Milky Way makes me feel small, but connected to the universe. This wilderness has a magic to it that most folks miss racing through their daily grind. Out here, the rhythms of the earth govern your clock. But a park ranger's job isn't always peaceful. Injuries, deaths, and disappearances occur if visitors make stupid mistakes. I've rescued my share of green hikers who go out poorly equipped, and I've recovered bodies too. Victims of falls, drownings, animal attacks, or exposure. That's the ugly side of the job. It wears on you over time, seeing such preventable tragedies play out. But it motivates me to educate people about respecting nature's power. I thought I had seen everything these woods could throw at me. But a few weeks ago, something happened that shook me to my core. It was a quiet night on patrol. A half moon cast that surrounded my Jeep on the overgrown forest road. I had the radio cranked country music playing softly as I bounced along, my headlights cutting a path through the dark woods. As a park ranger in these remote parts, I was used to spending countless hours alone, patrolling for any issues that might arise. But despite the isolation, I felt calm and at peace in the forest I knew so well. I was nearing the end of an uneventful 8-hour shift. My partner Carl usually split these long patrols with me, but he had called in sick. Didn't bother me none to ride solo, but the graveyard shift could wear on you when the caffeine wore off. I glanced at my watch, 1:47 a.m., and let out a yawn. Wouldn't be long before I could head back to the ranger station and crawl into bed. Seemed like this night would pass without incident, just the way I liked it. I was contemplating turning around when a faint noise in the distance caught my attention. I turned down the radio and listened close. At first, it was barely audible over the hum of the Jeep's engine, but then it grew louder. A blood-curdling scream echoing from deep within the forest. My hands gripped the steering wheel tight as I heard it again, the terrified shriek of someone in mortal danger. It turned my gut to ice. There shouldn't have been another soul out here at this hour. I froze for a moment, unsure if my exhausted mind was playing tricks, but the desperation in those screams was unmistakable. Someone miles back in the woods needed help. I threw the Jeep into gear and hit the gas, racing towards the source of that chilling cry. The vehicle jostled violently over rocks and roots as I picked up speed, and sprayed the high beams through the trees, searching for any sign of the person in distress. Those agonizing screams echoed two more times before fading out. I pushed the old Jeep to its limits, careening down the dirt road. The forest became a dark blur around me. Finally, I slid to a stop where the road ended, listening intently. But suddenly, the woods had gone silent as a grave. I killed the engine and lights. With trembling hands, I readied my rifle, scanner, flashlight, and first aid kit. This was prime grizzly territory, so I couldn't be too cautious. But some intuition told me a dangerous animal wasn't the culprit here. I moved quickly in the direction the last scream had emanated from. Sweeping my light back and forth, I called out reassuringly. No reply came. The beam revealed no movement or odd shapes. I continued deeper into the brush, adrenaline pulsing through my veins. The forest remained still, except for the needled branches scratching against my jacket. Even the crickets had gone mute. I scoured the area thoroughly, finding no signs of people or animals. Part of me refused to believe those agonized cries had just been my imagination. They had seemed so vivid, so close. Yet not a single shred of evidence was here. I made my way back to the Jeep, just as the sky began to purple with dawn's first light. Whatever had produced those screams was gone without a trace. For now. Exhausted, I drove back to the station as the sun peeked over the ridges. I kept replaying those chilling screams in my mind. I knew every inch of these woods, yet I couldn't explain what I'd heard, as much as I wanted to dismiss it as a trick of the night. Some instinct told me to stay alert. I decided to hike back to the spot after sunrise to investigate further. The golden morning light revealed details my flashlight had missed. Right away, I noticed a disturbance in the underbrush where something large had trampled through. Kneeling down, I spotted several massive footprints sunk deep in the soft soil. They appeared human in shape, but far larger than any man's. I estimated the length at 16 inches. No known animal left tracks like that. Nearby, a sapling was snapped clean in half and covered in unusual claw marks. The leaves and earth showed further signs of a violent struggle. Scraps of torn, bloody clothing clung to the brambles. I bagged a shred of plaid flannel, perhaps torn from a shirt. But other than footprints and scuffs, I found no complete articles of clothing or camping gear. It was like whoever had been here vanished without a trace, or was taken. That thought sent a chill through me despite the blazing sun. What happened last night was no illusion, not with evidence this concrete left behind, but the implications were disturbing, even unbelievable. I couldn't explain it logically, no matter how long I lingered there analyzing the scene. With a shrug, I hiked back to radio the station and file an incident report, though I doubted anyone would believe me. Back at the ranger station, I described the events in full detail to my superior, Ranger Jennings. He eyed me skeptically, arms folded across his barrel chest. I showed him the shoe print moldings I had made along with the shredded flannel. He examined them briefly before shaking his head in dismissal. But, working solo, you were likely exhausted last night. The mind plays tricks in the deep wilderness when you're fatigued. These prints could belong to any large man out there, and clothing scraps sometimes get left behind. As for the screams you heard, our ears pick up strange sounds at night that seem real, but I'd bet my pension you imagine them. We've never had issues with grizzlies or lions in that region, and we sure as hell don't have Bigfoot running around. He laughed heartily, as I stood there looking defeated. I had expected resistance, but his outright mockery irked me. I knew what I had experienced, yet arguing would only make me seem more unhinged. So I bit my tongue as Jennings dismissed me, saying he'd file the report as a curious incident, but would otherwise ignore it. I'll start out by saying that I can't officially confirm what I saw, but it was as real gets for me. I don't usually think much of the supernatural, but this really changed my perspective. I'm currently 22, but I was 21 at the time this happened. I spent the summer of 2022 working in southwestern Oregon. I had taken a summer off from wildland fire for a good-paying job baling hay for a custom hay company. It was mid-August, and they had me in a New Holland T7 260 with two other tractors in the field that night. We did most of our meadow hay baling at night, as you have to be careful about the moisture of grass hay when baling, or else it can spontaneously combust when stacked. I was working on the west end of the field, while the other two tractors were on the east end, making their way towards me. It was probably around midnight or 1 a.m., I was going along, jamming out to some Creedence Clearwater Revival, when my baler got plugged. The hay had bunched up in front of the feeder drum. I was probably going too fast for the conditions, or ran across a wet spot. The field was flood irrigated, so it wasn't too uncommon to find some hay that hadn't dried completely. I climbed out of the tractor to deal with the plug, pulling out handfuls of hay until the baler would take the pile. The tractor had a bunch of auxiliary lights, so the area around it was well lit. I never liked the dark, but I felt fairly safe. I was probably two windrows in from the edge of the field at the time. The fence lines around the field had tall canary grass, growing at least 6 foot tall where the swathers couldn't get to. This had always bothered me for some reason, but I'm from eastern Washington, so I'm used to being able to see for a ways out. As I'm laying in the hay trying to unplug my baler, I heard the grass at the edge of the field moving. I looked, but didn't see anything. I just figured it was an animal or something, didn't think anything of it. After I got the baler unplugged, I hopped back into the tractor and kept going. It wasn't too long after that. I happened to see a coyote at the edge, of where my lights were shining. Again, I didn't think anything of it. Fast forward about 20 minutes, I see a coyote again, still hanging out just outside of the range of the work lights of my tractor. I started thinking about it, how bold it was, getting that close to my tractor. Around 3 a.m., I had a shear bolt break on the baler. It's a simple fix. It's just a bolt that goes through the flywheel of the baler that's designed to break if there's too much strain on it. Kind of a safety feature to make sure you don't damage the baler itself. I went out to change out the bolt when I hear something. It sounds like a voice, but I can't quite make it out. I try and hurry up with the shear bolt replacement. As I finish up and am closing the shield on the baler, I hear it again. It kinda sounds like one of my friends who was driving one of the tractors on the other side of the field. I looked, but both sets of headlights were still moving. I was starting to freak out at this point. There shouldn't be anyone out here at 3 a.m. We're 5 miles down a gravel road from a town of like 40 people. I started rushing towards the tractor and climbed the steps. The voice is getting louder, calling my name. I get in and slam the door shut behind me. As I'm putting the tractor in gear, I look out the door. At the edge of where my lights are shining is what looks like a coyote. Something's wrong with it, though. It looks really mangy, and the eyes aren't shining the right color. They almost look crimson red. On its face is what almost resembles a smile. Then it stands up on its hind legs and tries to take a clumsy step in my direction. Once I saw this, I dumped the clutch and kept on moving. Up until the sun came up, every time I looked in the mirror, I could see a coyote staying just beyond the lights of my tractor, just like it had before. As the sun was coming up over the mountain next to us, I saw it start running back towards the tall grass at the end, of the field. I radioed the other guys in the other tractors, but they didn't know what I was talking about. Thank God I didn't have a plug-up or another shear bolt break after that. I don't know what I saw or heard that night, but that wasn't the last of it. Several nights later, we had gotten rained out, so I was able to sleep at night instead of during the day. It was in the bunkhouse. I was on the second floor on my bunk bed. I had just woken up around 4 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep. Once I'm up, I'm up. I was laying in bed, scrolling through TikTok when I heard a scratching on the window. Like I said, this is the second floor. There are also no trees near the building. It was then that I heard that same damn voice trying to mimic one of my co-workers who wasn't even in town that night. After about 20 minutes, it went silent again. That's the last I've heard of whatever that was, and I hope I never have to deal with that again. I don't know exactly what it was, but I've heard stories of similar creatures, so I wonder if it might have been a skinwalker.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.